Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I am here to say, after a long courtship, a few lovely dates, and a really transcendent weekend, I'm ready to move from the flirtation stage to the commitment stage. And I am picking the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams to win the NFC and to be a rookie quarterback representative in the Super Bowl.
And then he picks him to lose to the Chiefs, right?
There's no way.
Gotta be. Nick Wright on the Bears, who will be in town on Saturday, 1 o'clock. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher.
The Bears in the Super Bowl. Well, let me. Can you picture anyone in the NFC other than the Niners in the Super Bowl? Can you imagine it in your head?
Definitely.
Or would it look weird for almost anybody else?
I can absolutely picture the Lions. I could picture the Cowboys. I could picture the...
See, the Cowboys, I feel like logically I could see that, but like my brain won't let me picture Dallas in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Because, one, I didn't see them in the Super Bowl in the 90s, and two, they've never been close in my lifetime.
I could picture the Packers.
Okay.
I could picture...
Yep.
I already said the Lions. Lions, Packers, Falcons. I'm kidding.
The Falcons.
My Falcons.
I bet the Falcons, though, have better odds than the Bears do.
Maybe.
Wouldn't you guess? They might have two home playoff games.
How crazy would it be for the Bears?
It'd be pretty.
We've seen quarterbacks show up and be great. It has happened.
Yeah,
it has happened where a quarterback shows up and is like, he's great.
Let me ask.
Last year, C.J. Stroud.
I was going to ask. Yeah.
I mean, the Texans didn't make the Super Bowl, but we saw a year of him, and it's just like, okay, that guy's great.
If Jordan Love
had 8 great games.
Yeah. If I told you Caleb Williams this season will be as good as C.J. Stroud was last year, could they make the Super Bowl?
Yes. They could. Right? Is that nuts? They could if he's that good. They've got the weapons. They have good players. They've added – I mean, the Bears have high-level players at all levels. I mean, say what you will about Tremaine Edmonds, but they've got good players in the secondary. They've done a lot in free agency. That's a full rebuild that – finished again. They used the first pick that was somebody else's pick. That's a little different than how it normally goes.
Right.
So you have less ground to go. Their pick was the 9th pick. They had somebody else's number one overall. So I mean, I'm not here telling you they're going to make the Super Bowl, but I am very interested to see how good they are, to see how good Caleb Williams is. Of all the preseason opponents you could possibly see, I would probably draft the Bears first.
I would. They have the 8th best odds to win the NFC. Tied for 7th with the Rams. You name the teams. Niners, Lions, Eagles, Packers, Cowboys, Falcons. They have the best six.
Okay.
So what, you can imagine six teams? You think five, what do you think, five teams realistically could make the NFC, or could win the NFC?
Sure.
How many in the AFC?
AFC, it is Kansas City, Baltimore, Houston, sure, Buffalo, right? I'm going to say the Bills.
Yep. Bills have the third best Super Bowl odds, so. Wait a minute. I thought that was true.
Where I'm supposed to say Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. They have the same odds as the Bills.
Okay. That's five.
Yep.
The Jets, six.
Okay. Dolphins?
I don't want to say the Dolphins.
Browns? No.
I don't want to say the Browns.
The Jags. This was once a Jag show.
Get the Jags out of here. No.
The Chargers?
No.
All right, so about the same?
Yeah.
Is that because you think they're just as strong, or because, like, wasn't last year the storyline of the season, man, look how much better the AFC is than the NFC? And maybe that got proven right. But I don't know. I'm not hearing the same thing this year. I'm not hearing, wow, look how much better the AFC is than the NFC.
I think that comes down to a couple things. One, the AFC, some of those teams disappointed. Like Jacksonville disappointed. The Chargers were supposed – they disappointed in
the
a very big way.
Weren't
the Jets were not
season.
A factor.
Yeah.
And in the NFC, you had the Packers and the Lions immediately launch into these look like legitimately good teams going forward.
And they weren't a year ago.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lions were looking to take a step.
Yeah.
And they did. And the Packers, of course, like Jordan Love, like that's a big deal.
Also, the Rams, like the Rams are one of these teams, actually, they have the same odds as the Bears. Weren't they kind of a – like, what was their win total a year ago? Like, 7.5? Weren't teams thinking the Rams were, like, kind of, they were done and maybe they were going to miss the playoffs again and they kind of reasserted themselves as, no, like, we're still here. Like, we might not be juggernaut like we were 4 years ago, 3 years ago, but we're still here. We still got a good quarterback. We still got Sean McVay. We got two good receivers. They struck gold with their fifth-round rookie having 1,500 yards through the air. But that's probably a factor, too, is that the Rams weren't quite as dead as many people probably thought they were. The NFC South, though, was still trash.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Ian Rappaport is reporting the Saints are hosting free agent safety Justin Simmons for a visit. He's an NFL top 100 player who the Bills have lost a pair of safeties to injury, and we keep wondering, will Justin Simmons be a name that they maybe reach out to? They haven't, of course. They picked up two other guys. But Simmons having a visit with the Saints. You know, as you get to the league and records and who can win what, we got Howard Picks the Bills coming up at 8 o'clock. I got, you know, we get a million emails about, hey, would you like to talk about this, hey, this and this and this. Gambling odds is something we you know, it's a part of regular sports conversation now, even if it's not, hey, do the betting. It's just,
hey, look at this is cool.
Sure. Likelihood.
Yeah.
Odds.
Yeah.
And one thing I found interesting was I got an email from whatever that was records through 5 weeks. You could bet every team's record through 5 weeks. Maybe it was 5 weeks because the first bye week is week six. So Everybody's going to play five games. Here are your odds of what your record will be five games in. And just pulling the numbers about the odds, The Bills most likely was 3-2 through 5 weeks. Let me refresh everybody on what the five games are.
Okay.
Because 3-2 isn't impressing anybody too much. But if they were 3-2, Arizona, Miami, Jacksonville, Baltimore, Houston. They lost to Jacksonville last year. That's
yes,
a team they did lose to.
Yep.
Houston and Baltimore, they're good, right? They're contenders.
Yes.
And Houston's on the road and Baltimore is also
they're both on the road. Both on the road. And no, one's a night game. Baltimore Sunday Night Football.
The Bills are on the road in Miami, too.
Yep, and that's week
so,
two.
So, Arizona, short week on the road, Miami, Jacksonville, Baltimore, Houston, and then at the Jets, by the way. You want to go the first six games of the season.
Yeah.
That's a tough start. For your easiest game to be Arizona in your first 6 weeks, and I don't think Arizona is going to be a pushover at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a tough stretch for the Bills before they get to Tennessee, Seattle. Then it's Miami again, Indy, Kansas City, San Francisco, the Rams, the Lions. The fact that they don't play the Patriots until December 22nd.
Yeah.
There are two games that we might look at and say, these are the games we would bank on them winning. I mean, there's really not a lot of softness to this schedule this year.
There's, in a pocket, maybe you could make that case, because, like, even, look, 4 through 6, just isolate that window. Like, isolate different windows of the schedule. Weeks 4 through 6, at Baltimore, at Houston, at Jets. Man.
That's nuts.
If the Jets stay healthy and are what we think they are.
Yep.
Who knows? I mean, they could be fighting each other by week 6.
Doesn't that stretch right there, at Baltimore, at Houston, at Jets? Isn't that where we decide, or maybe the national media decides, like, are the Bills okay? Have they made it through this transition? You know, we know it's
well, the national media, they'll have seen the Bills 5 times already by week 6.
Yeah.
That's wild, isn't it? The night games that they have early on like that.
Yeah, but Dolphins, Jaguars, Ravens.
Is that the window where we're all going to decide what they are? Weeks 4 through 6. Baltimore, Houston, Jets, all on the road.
It'll be hard not to. And even saying that, last year they were, 6-6, and of course ran the table from there to become an 11-6 team.
Right.
But yeah, like, trying to figure out what this team is going to be and how good they're going to be, the tests come early. There's very little ramp-up time. Home against Arizona to start the season, I don't want to say that's any sort of pushover or any sort of warm-up.
It's much of a warm-up as you really have, right?
By, like, rating it against your other opponents, like, that's a team with a lower win total. It's an NFC team.
Yeah.
It's at home. Miami, people will be very confident because you're always confident against Miami. But then, Jags, Ravens, Texans, Jets.
I'm looking at those first 3 games and then the next 3 games, and I'm really thinking, like, I'm going to want all 3 of those first 3 games. That's going to be tough. Like, they're not the biggest pushovers, but, you know, for how much they've had success against Miami, and then, like, aren't Arizona and Jacksonville kind of similar in that, like, they're probably not the worst. They have really talented quarterbacks, but there's just always something off with Arizona. There's always something that, maybe that's the owner that goes all the way up to him. Jacksonville, there's always something off. For them, maybe it always starts with the GM. I don't know. I'm going to want them to win those first 3 games. Because even, like, you said 3-2 is their most likely record. Like, what's their most likely path to 3-2? Wouldn't it be win the first 3 and then you lose the next 2? Because they're going to be underdogs at both Baltimore and Houston. And they're favored against Arizona. They're favored against Jacksonville. They're probably not favored at Miami, are they? They might be close.
Maybe.
By the lines, I'm just saying, like, their most likely path to 3-2 would be win, 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 loss, loss. And that's not always how it breaks out. It probably won't break out that way. But I'm thinking I'm going to want them to win those first 3 games and start 3-0, or else I'm going to be really well, if they're 2-1 after the first 3, I'm going to be crossing my fingers going into the next 3 games.
All right, I want you to remind me that I said something. If that all plays out, I want you to remind me that I said this. Of all the years benefit of the doubt isn't exactly what I'm saying here, but of all the years to remember, you're not exactly the same team at the end of the season that you are at the start of the season. All of the change over here, from coordinators to the center, right, to the receivers, to the safeties. It might be a good year to remember that who you are at the start of the season is not always who you are at the end of the season, and this team might need a little bit of time to find its way. And we don't always like that, but for the last however many years, it's been a ready-made team of veterans, and that's not the case this year.
Yeah.
You have Josh, of course, but after that, I mean, as we lay out their best players, it's Josh and Dawkins. Okay, and Milano's coming back off an injury. He might need a little bit of time. You might love Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop. They might need a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I've got Shakir and Kincaid as my 2 most efficient pass catcher. Okay, that's fine. But for Curtis Samuel, there might be some adjustment to chemistry. For Keon Coleman, we're looking at a rookie to make a big contribution.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to remind myself, like I said, remind me I'm saying this, that 6 weeks in, the story's not written.
Yeah.
Because it might be a little bit of a ramp up.
I got a little bit of a sick brain in that yesterday. What I did was let's go back and watch some highlights from last season. Again, kind of see what football looks like again. Let me put on Bills Jets from week 1. How dumb was that game, really? I don't need to get into that game. Do you know what the first play on that highlight reel is on YouTube? Like the NFL official Bills Jets highlight reel. This is week 1 of last year. The first play on that highlight reel is Deontay Hardy lined up in the backfield, and Allen throws it out to him for like 7 yards. That play didn't exist for them at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They started the year like, oh, look at this new Deontay Hardy guy. Let's try him out. Let's try this type of formation. They also changed coordinators. So I understand it would absolutely be different if you did that. But, yeah, no, I do agree with that. They just can't. I don't think they can afford, though, with how hard their schedule is, to take a lot of time figuring out who they are. I mean, that's why maybe this camp and preseason will be important for me specifically at receiver, but safety maybe is a good position to look at here too. Figure out what you've got. Figure out who you have, because you, like those first three games, you're going to need to be 2-1, I think, minimum. And those are all three games you could very well lose. None of those are complete pushovers.
Yeah.
You don't get a pushover game until, I might want to think Seattle ends up being that in week 8, but that, even that's
half, on the road.
Even if I'm right by that, that's on the road and that's halfway through the season.
It's on the road, one of the toughest places to play.
Yeah.
For, again, young team. Led by Allen, but it's different. Different group.
This is why I asked last week, would you take 8-6, because two of your two easiest games are in your final three.
Yeah, I'd take 8-6.
8-6 with New England, Jets, New England to end.
Sure.
I think I...
No, I wouldn't take that. Why am I taking that? No, no.
You would not take it?
No, because no, would you take... Every time we ask, would you take, you're asking for the floor.
Yes.
And that means I'm accepting that as
you're accepting as the floor.
I'm accepting that as the ceiling. It's
both.
It's a floor. But
right.
Would you take 8-6, meaning I don't get the potential for 9-5, which I think there's plenty of potential to be 10-4 if they...
But you're eliminating the risk of...
Yeah.
Well, it's the risk.
The risk is...
Could you see them being 6-8 at that point?
Not unless there are really catastrophic problems with the offense.
Okay, so then I think that's why you would say no.
Right. I'm
because you
no.
think 9-5 or even like 10-4 is more likely than what's happening. We're 6-8 with three games to go. And maybe we got to win three and get a ton of help along the way to get in.
Without putting a record on it, what's the best case scenario for this team? I'll fill it in with a sentence. 803-0550. Give us a sentence. Not a record. A sentence. What's the best case scenario for them?
The best case scenario for them is they are... I think the best case scenario is they're just as good. Does it change, though? Do we think they've always been as good? Like, is it always the same? It's a little different. I kind of want to say, though, they're just as good as they've always been. That's the best case scenario.
My sentence on that, Joe Brady's a witch.
Joe Brady's a witch.
That's the best case scenario. He's him. Let's borrow the him stuff. He's it. He's him. He is a architect of an offense where we're like, oh yeah, you've one of the best. Because we often talk about, hey, with this quarterback you have a chance. You know where else that seems to be true? If you have the coordinator. Look at who all the good teams are. There is definitely a separation of offensive mastermind have and have-nots. The teams we just laid out that could win the Super Bowl, we are listing the great quarterbacks and the great coordinators. You didn't want to rule out the Rams. I've got the Niners there. I've got the Packers there. The whole McVay Shanahan tree. Every piece of it is near the top consistently.
Right.
And if the Bills could couple a guy like that, if Brady's it, someone like that with a quarterback of that caliber, how do you get Mahomes winning three Super Bowls? I've got the quarterback and the offensive witch. That's the recipe to be a Super Bowl team. And we know the Bills have half of it. They've been pretty close on the offensive coordinator side. You know, they've been really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
What if they have the best coordinator they've had for Josh Allen? Isn't that the best case scenario? That this is the best one yet.
Or even as good as Dable. It's hard to get a lot better than that, isn't it? That went pretty well. It's hard to do a lot better than that. Okay. If you had that combo where Brady's got the answers and his plan, because to me, like, when Dorsey started to get his plan going, didn't it kind of just look off? Wasn't that always the problem? Maybe did it feel like that Dorsey and Allen, I don't have to make it just about those two, but the offense as a whole, it just didn't look like it clicked ever.
It looked like
you were trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
We said every week, why does it look so hard?
Right. So, to me, like, square peg in a round hole, like Brady being like, okay, round peg is back. Like, that would be more what I'm looking for from Joe Brady. And if they got that, yeah, I mean, it's, to me, like, that kind of goes to my sentence. Like, I think they're just as good as they were before if they get that from Joe Brady.
Joe in Gasport is on the phone. Say, Joe, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. As far as best case scenario, I always look to be the most optimistic out there. Best case scenario, obviously, is 17-0. But realistically, I think they're going to be 11-6, and I think a lot's going to depend upon the play calling of Brady and Bobby Babbage. I'll listen to your comments, and Jeremy, it's been a long time since I talked to you, 20-plus years. Glad you're back. You guys do well, and I appreciate everything you guys do. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thanks, buddy. Babbage is interesting, too, here. Right? Like, we talked about this with Sal yesterday, and he thinks – he's like, I thought Babbage is going to be the guy calling the plays from the start. Which, you know, last year it was McDermott, and people are pretty locked in on what they think about McDermott. How did McDermott do last year calling the defense? Fine?
Fine, right?
Did you notice or did you feel some incredible difference from the Leslie Frazier years? I'm sure there were differences, you know.
Not until I would see film guys break down, like, oh, hey, this is what they're doing a little bit different in, like, coverages.
Right.
But even that wasn't, like, it wasn't drastically different. They weren't – they still kind of largely, I think, had the same type of stuff, right? Like, the two high safeties and don't let anything over the top. So
– and then when it comes to play calling, you know, this is going to go for Brady and for Babbage. There's what you want to do and what you can do. You can't always do what you want to do, right? You might want to call certain coverages against Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game, but you can't. Because of who your linebackers are. You might want to call this potential pass play in the third quarter, but your receivers are Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy, and you just can't get separation, can't make a catch, or blah, blah, blah. Like, what you can do and what you want to do aren't always the same thing. Thanks, Joe, for the phone call. 803-0550. 17-0 would be pretty sweet. I mean, come on.
I mean.
Although, actually, this is a fun question.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of Bills fans that like being under the radar. I want to be under the radar. This is one of those let's get stupid. What percentage of Bills fans would prefer 15-2 to 17-0? Still the one seed.
Yeah.
What percentage would prefer it?
Wouldn't it just make them not winning more torturous?
That's the mindset.
Yeah. I'm already right. I'm in.
Like, I don't want to be 17-0 because then if they lose, it's more memorable for everybody else.
Right.
Even though the Patriots did it, they were one of the best teams of all time, and they lost in the Super Bowl. You know, we get to dunk on them a little bit for that, but they have all the other Super Bowls to cover for it.
Yes.
If you went 17-0,
it would. Right. That's right. If you were the team that did that and you didn't have one, it would, like, New England. It doesn't come up probably nearly as much as it should because they have six others. Right. If the Bills went 17-0 and then still didn't win, I don't even want to entertain the thought. It would be I don't know how people would react to it. It'd be tough. It would also be fun along the way. It would make the regular season more fun. You'd have to chase.
I am putting up the poll. Given the one seed either way, what would you prefer, 17-0 or 15-2?
I'm very interested to see where this goes.
What's the number going to be?
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Bills GM Brandon Bean going to join us in a minute. Would he pick 17-0? Definitely. Again, you put a target on your back. People don't like targets on your back.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk to the Bills GM coming up in a minute. Chris Brown coming up at 8:30. Carl Jones at 9. Howard picks the Bills at 8. Busy, busy day here from St. John Fisher. Coverage of Bills training camp is brought to you by Admark Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's a place to buy a case of what's your outlet, and by your Western New York Ford dealers. and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, we're back here live at St. John Fisher at Buffalo Bills training camp. Practice again today and tomorrow before wrapping up camp. Jeremy and Joe, and happy to be joined by Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean. Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Morning walk was a good one?
It was really good. It's fun to get out here in Pittsburgh, really nice area, walk down by the canal.
It's been beautiful weather here at camp. Today, I'll say, is a little more football-y weather, a little chill in the air. This is the good stuff for me.
Yeah. No, it's we were literally having a debate of, do you like 59 or 79 better on the walk. So really high-level walk topics.
Yeah, give me 59 for the morning walk. All right, well, we're here at training camp. There's stuff going on in the league. Just one league matter, and, you know, there's a lot going on with a potential trade out there, a big star player. When this is going on, like a Brandon Ayuk kind of story, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Browns, are league GMs, I don't know, following, tracking, group chatting? Like, what's the level of attention paid to a story like this, which could be a pretty big move in the league?
Yeah, I mean, you're always paying attention to when guys can change teams or what's it going to cost. You're always comparing moves, and it's really a two-cost thing, you know, for whoever would trade for him. It's a cost of what draft capital or players you're swapping, and then what is the cost of that new contract that you're willing to give, which I think that's probably what's holding things up. Is San Fran feel like they're getting enough on their end, plus is the team that's willing to give them what they want also willing to strike, you know, a big payday for you know, for the player?
When it comes to those deals, like, you've talked a lot about in the past, you check in on everything, you're checking in with just any move out there to make the team better, as you might. Is this a check-in you would have done way back when? It's kind of been a story from, I mean, March even. There were reports out there that Jacksonville was after him. Was there a check-in at any point for the Bills?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like anything, you're right. Way back when, there was a lot of check-ins on various things. But, you know, as we move through the spring, we really like the group we've had, and we've just focused on, you know, on the current group.
How hard is that for you when you're mapping an offseason? It doesn't have to be this specific situation, but if there's a player you might like that's on another team, and there is, again, like that's us finding out about contract stuff too, so maybe there would be more going on with other people behind the scenes where you almost kind of have to make a bet, like, will this player actually be, will the team ever decide, like, hey, we actually might move him? Because like, you have to have your offseason.
Yep.
And as you sign players, the flexibility goes away. So I guess how hard is that for you at the beginning of an offseason to almost kind of bet on, like, hey, is this guy actually ever going to be a real idea for us?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think, you know, if you were going to do something and pay someone like that or whatever, you'd truly have to say, listen, we may leave a gaping hole here or something because we're going to have to save pretty good money. Also, what assets are we giving up? You know, again, player or pick. And and you got to assume that that team could say, you know, at any point, hey, we're just going to hold on to the player, or someone else comes in and they offer something more that you're just like, man, that's just too rich for me, whether it's the contract or whether it's, you know, the draft capital.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. All right, so this group, this team, when you're out here at practice, are you watching everything? But you focusing on your rookies, on your draft class, on a specific position group you like to watch when you're on the field? Is there one thing or any couple things you're kind of keying on?
Yeah, I mean, like anything, you're definitely looking at positions that have, you know, more that have newer players, whether it's free agency, whether it's the draft. You're always watching your young guys, especially, you know, all we've had them until last week was shirts and t-shirt. I mean, shorts and t-shirts, and now you're watching them in pads play real football. And so, you know, the first few days you're down there every day in O-line, D-line watching these guys, you know, one-on-one pass rush. But definitely watching, you know, we do a lot of one-on-ones or seven-on-seven stuff, DBs, receivers, just seeing, you know, obviously our receiver group, you know, just talking about a player that's out there. We do have, you know, quite a few new pieces in there, and how it's all going to work this year versus the group that we, you know, we trotted out there last season.
When it comes to the receivers, let's talk a little about Keon Coleman, second-round pick. He's one of the guys people come out here to see. What have you seen from your rookie receiver?
Yeah, I think he's done a great job. I think, first off, receiver means catch the ball, right? I think that would be A-plus, you know, to this point. He's really shown good hands, contested catches, body control on the sideline, the back of the end zone, some plays like that, some fade balls. That's the basketball stuff that we talked about when we drafted him, explaining what he can do. You know, is he going to take the top off of defenses and run 4-3-5? No, that's not what we expect him to do. But he's a young man. He just turned 21. You know, after we drafted him, he loves ball. He's smart. He's super competitive. You know, he stays after, like, he's putting the work in. He wants to be good. He wants to be great. He loves ball. All those things tell me that, yes, he's a rookie, but he's going to continue to get better, you know, every step along the way.
You know, as you mentioned that about not taking the top off defense, like, I was thinking about that too, because receivers become a position where there are a lot of different jobs for receivers.
Yep.
How much of getting the most out of this group is making sure that the coaching staff, coordinators are putting each guy in the right scenario, position to succeed?
Yeah, I mean, every offseason, you guys were talking about, every offseason, it's like, all right, what do we have? Like, what ingredients do we have, you know, for Joe Brady and Josh Allen to work with? And that's every skill position, running backs, tight ends, receivers. What do we have? What are we doing well? Do we have a bunch of guys that can separate? Do we have speed? And so you're trying to give them as many different options as you can, because you're going to play different teams, different weather. Like, can we line up and run the ball? Okay. If we can't throw it, if it's a wind game, if it's a snow game, do we have the horses up front? Do we have the tight ends? Are our receivers going to block? Okay. If it's a fast turf game, like we're playing press man, can we get off press man? Like, can we win press man? People are going to, because you're going to get everything all season. Do we have guys that have good instincts, good feel in zone, make the play, turn it up when they're going to sit there and play too high? You know, can we run the ball? Josh gets a lot of it, just like, you know, people do with Mahomes. They're going to play a lot of too high safety. Or is Josh in our offense? Are we going to be patient, run it, check it down? Or are we going to try and force it? And that's what they're hoping you do. They're hoping you get a penalty, get yourself behind the sticks, second long, third and long, and they get you to punt.
It and when it comes to like where guys line up too, I think you made a comment around the draft about Coleman and the X position. Is that something where at this point in training camp that it's kind of more like, all right, like you just kind of mentioned, like give the ingredients, Joe Brady's got it, and it's more on the coaches now for that? Like, how does that conversation and plan, I guess, go for where guys end up lining up?
Yeah, I mean, it's ultimately it's up to the coaches and how they want to use them, how they see them. We try, these guys are smart guys. They work all off season. As we add the ingredients, they throw in. You know, we're meeting with them again in these off season. Where do we feel we're strong? Where do you know if we lose this player? What do we need back? Like, where are some areas that we want to get better in or add some strengths? And so we talk about all those things, and as we add each piece, I think the last, couple of receivers we added, what does a Chase Claypool bring to us? Okay, what does an MVS bring to us? Now what would we do with him with the current group? Sometimes the group may change. You may say, you know what, in this group I'm going to play this player more inside, but if you add this guy, I would move him outside more. So at this point, though, yeah, we still have discussions, what we're seeing, what they're seeing, but ultimately it's, this is Josh's seventh season. You know, Josh will throw some input in there, how he feels the receiver and who he feels most comfortable with in certain, situations.
Bills GM Brandon Bean joining us here at St. John Fisher.
One more on the receivers. We've been watching Tyrell Shavers have a good camp here. And how much of the calculus, if at all, when you're determining who to keep at that position on cut day is, hey, can we get this guy to the practice squad, keep him around, which allows us to keep this other player? Or does that not come into it at all, and it's just we're just going to keep the best, whatever it is, six guys, seven guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think you anytime you expose someone, whatever it is, and we've had, quite a few guys claimed, the number of years, anytime you expose them, like, you don't sleep well that night because you're going, man, I'm assuming all it takes is one team that needs everyone studying your roster, and they see where you have the most depth. We do the same thing. The pro guys that are back here with me, they're tracking. This team is heavy at tight end. Like, they're gonna have to either trade someone or they're not going to keep five, tight ends or something like that. So we talk about those things, and we understand if you expose them, you need to be prepared to lose them. So the number one job is you got to keep the best 53, because if you expose a player thinking you're going to sneak him through, you're going to get your feelings hurt.
Bills GM Brandon Bean, one thing to replace leadership, and we've seen the graphic of the number of captains that left this team. Has that process started, you think? You're starting to see who steps into those new roles. Is the next 3 weeks part of that? Is that something that kind of goes into the season to find out a little bit about these guys? Because you did draft a lot of former captains for their teams. Who steps into those roles vacated by Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs? These are team captains along the way. Who steps in? Do you already kind of know who that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that process, I would say, started in the spring when you get back out on the field. Who's kind of stepping up in each group? Who's in the meeting room? We're talking to position coaches. Who's kind of leading this group? And you're exactly right. The biggest transition, I would say, we had, this past offseason is we lost a lot of the guys with the C on their chest. And so, but we do feel we've got a group of young players that have stepped up and are starting to, and then we bring in some guys. We brought in a Mac Hollins, for the, obviously you mentioned Gabe and Steph and those guys, because we do like to have leaders in every room if possible. And so a Shakir kind of going into year three, him stepping up. So, lots of guys that have been in the background, we're starting to ask for more. And then you're right, it's not done. We're going to start playing games this weekend. Who do we see? Who do we feel as leaders? And then ultimately, Sean, I think, does a good job of letting the guys pick, who do they feel? Who do they see as their captains?
A lot of talk about this team around the NFL is team in transition, kind of a reset of the leadership. Veterans, what I mean, labels can be tough, but like, do you like that label transition? I mean, you're trying to thread a needle with the cap, and of course you've got a competitive group and a division you're still favored to win. I don't want to ask you to put a label on it, but I kind of do. Like, what is the right way to look at this team?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I've used that word transition in some of my comments about the team because I think it is some years there's always change, right? No team's the same. I would say this year there was probably more eye-opening names that we lost either due to the business side of it, people got paid or we moved on, or just father time or whatever it is. We knew what we were walking into this year. It was a little bit bigger year of a cap number. We were prepared for it. Is it fun? No. Does it stink to lose a lot of the names that have helped you set your foundation and been here for a lot of the success that we've had? So, but it is time, and I think transition is a fair word.
What about the cap situation next year? What's done this year with the amount of dead money? Like, does that mean next year? I'm saying you're going on a spending spree, but you don't have to be quite as tight on everything because things will loosen up.
Yeah, I think we've tried to set ourselves up so that next year should be a little easier from that standpoint. Listen, it's when you're paying a franchise quarterback, it's never going to be easy, and the cap took a big jump this year. What will it go next year? Hopefully, it'll keep trending like that, and we get some big jumps. But we feel pretty good about where we're at, and the young nucleus that we've kind of restarting here, going into 24.
Well, on that, and you mentioned now that you're paying a quarterback what Allen's getting paid. We'll talk about with all the new quarterback contracts, and you look at, what guys are getting brought in at, and Josh has got some big cap hits coming up. Is there a future where we're going to open up our computers here and see he's getting a pay raise or a different contract than he's currently on? And would that be something that's more on the radar maybe after the year? What's the timeline for Allen's contract? Or do you think you're at a point where those big cap hits, you have enough flexibility to kind of take them in?
Yeah, I mean, we don't, I don't really talk about contracts and stuff, on the team. I just think it's fair not to. But we have everything baked in. We know the things. We know the markets out there, whether it's quarterback, whether it's another position, what it is. And, again, we feel we got to make sure we're good for this year and that, it's even though we have money now, that's counting the top 51. It's not.
Sure.
So we don't have, whatever with these, Spot Track or whatever these sites you guys we have. We really don't. And we also have to plan. It costs you, $3 to $4 million to do your practice squad. And people don't talk about that. But that's real money.
Okay.
And so I think that's a misnomer. People forget that those count. And then when you put every guy you put on IR, those count. And so we don't have a lot of wiggle room right now, even though it looks like we may have some money.
So is it fair to say then maybe that, because you added Kareem Jackson last week and another safety, that especially even if there's injuries along the way between now and at some point in the season, what your current cap situation, do you have enough operating where if you had to add somebody for depth, but there's not, no one's expecting this giant monster move in the middle of the season or before the season starts.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where we look at it. Sometimes, I mean, I think last year we even did one or two, I don't remember the names off the top of my head, that just to be able to operate during the season, some cap conversion type things, we could still, if we need to do a couple of things, we've got that in our back pocket. You want to be mindful of those because that is pushing into next year, and we just talked about, is Jeremy's question, what does next year look like and beyond? So we'll see where we're at injury-wise, how many veterans, every veteran you keep on the practice squad, those costs considerably more than the rookies. So we'll kind of weigh all that out as we pick this roster, see who we get, and make sure if we need to convert anyone, to operate in the season that we do so.
One more for you on just positional stuff in markets. I think a lot of the conversation about whether it's quarterback, receiver, I think it happens at all positions, the exploding markets and how expensive players are getting. To me, I think that's a little oversold because the cap goes up. I mean, and the contracts go up with the cap. The rising tide lifts all boats. Do you see position markets exploding or just kind of moving up somewhat appropriately?
Yeah, I mean, the receiver market has exploded, ever since the year that we redid Diggs, when Mike Williams in San Diego, LA Chargers, there were some big deals that year, and then Tyreek got his deal, and Devontae Adams. That market has continued to explode well into the 30s. Never before, left tackles were making more than receivers. Corners were making probably more than receivers. It's it's going the other way. Receivers have really taken off. So there can be, but I don't think most positions, Jeremy, I think most of them have kind of just as the cap have gone, I would say that one and the quarterback have probably been the two that I've seen explode the most.
Jumped out.
Last thing for me. One, are you watching Hard Knocks with the Giants at all? And two, I feel like coaches would get this more often, but now that there's an off-season edition, I don't know, is that something you'd be okay with in the future if they came calling?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen snippets, and my man Boyko keeps me up to speed on what's going on. And that's really not my cup of tea.
Okay.
Yeah, so listen, if Mr. Pegula tells me we need to do it, we'll do it, but I'm not going to be raising my hand.
Right. So did you see the Giants color-coding the board there they had?
Yeah, I did. The guy saw that and sent that to me. It was interesting because we do some similar things, you know, not exactly how they had it, but it was interesting to look and see. I did look at that and who they had flagged and see how we had them similar.
Yeah. So you knew you could see that maybe like kind of you kind of knew the code a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We definitely don't. Yeah. Do you have a good idea of like what that?
Okay. Yeah, there was only one that I wasn't 100% sure, but looking at the names, I have some idea.
You know the code, all right? The GM code, all right? Bills GM Brandon Bean. Well, thanks for the time and best of luck this season.
All right, thanks guys, appreciate you.
We'll get a break in. Howard's coming up top of the hour. Chris Brown going to join us at 8:30. Carl Jones at 9 here. Our final day from training camp here on WGR.
Who did the Bills sign?
7 years ago today?
Yep.
Anquan Boldin.
Anquan Boldin. Ding, 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 ding.
All-time great Bill Anquan Boldin.
Yes. That was 2 weeks in a preseason game?
Yes.
And then he retired. Who did he end his career with then? Who did he play his last game for? Do you remember?
Tennessee.
Is it close? Detroit.
Same colors, kind of, maybe, almost. Hey, my favorite thing. I knew it. Howard's going to pick the Bills. We can talk to him about this because he's one of these insane people that might do this. We asked on Twitter, which would you prefer? The Bills are going to get the one seed. Would you prefer 17-0 or 15-2? And 15-2 is winning. I knew it.
Yeah.
And the 17-0 crowd cannot believe it. What are you guys talking about? A chance to be the best team of all time ever? 15-2 is winning because you don't want the intensity.
Yeah. You don't want the pressure.
You don't want 17-0.
Okay, now we have to win it this year.
Yes.
Because otherwise we're a laughingstock.
I love it. I knew it. All right. Howard picks the Bills. Coming on the other side. He'll be in studio back there in Amherst. He's busy. We had to try and arrange it somehow. Chris Brown, Bills play-by-play man Chris Brown at 8:30. Carl Jones, 9 o'clock. Final day of training camp here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off.
That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Diego, or LA Chargers, they, you know, there were some big deals that year, and then Tyreek got his deal, and Devontae Adams. That market has continued to explode well into the 30s. You know, never before, like, left tackles were making more than receivers. Corners were making probably more than receivers. It's going the other way. Receivers have really taken off. So there can be, but I don't think most positions, Jeremy, I think most of them have kind of just as the cap have gone, I would say that one and the quarterback have probably been the two that I've seen explode the most.
Jumped out.
Last thing for me. One, are you watching Hard Knocks with the Giants at all? And two, I feel like coaches would get this more often, but now that there's an off-season edition, I don't know, is that something you'd be okay with in the future if they came calling?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen snippets, and my man Boyko keeps me up to speed on what's going on. And that's really not my cup of tea.
Okay.
Yeah, so listen, if Mr. Pegula tells me we need to do it, we'll do it. But I'm not going to be raising my hand.
Right. So did you see the Giants color-coding the board there they had?
Yeah, I did. The guy saw that and sent that to me. It was interesting because we do some similar things. You know, not exactly how they had it, but it was interesting to look and see. I did look at that. At who they had flagged and see how we had them similar.
Yeah. So you knew you could see that maybe like kind of you kind of knew the code a little bit?
Oh, yeah. We definitely don't.
Yeah.
Do you have a good idea of like what that?
Okay. Yeah, there was only one that I wasn't 100% sure, but looking at the names, I have some idea.
You know the code. All right. It's a GM code. All right. Bills GM Brandon Bean. Well, thanks for the time and best of luck this season.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
We'll get a break in. Howard's coming up top of the hour. Chris Brown going to join us at 8:30. Carl Jones at 9 here. Our final day from training camp here on WGR.
Seven years ago today, who did the Bills sign? Yep.
Anquan Boldin.
Ding, 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 ding.
All-time great Bill, Anquan Boldin.
Yes. That was 2 weeks in a preseason game?
Yes.
And then he retired. Who did he end his career with then? Who did he play his last game for? Do you remember?
Tennessee.
Is it close? Detroit.
Same colors, kind of, maybe, almost. Hey, my favorite thing. I knew it. Howard's going to pick the Bills. We can talk to him about this because he's one of these insane people that might do this. We asked on Twitter, which would you prefer? The Bills are going to get the one seed. Would you prefer 17-0 or 15-2? And 15-2 is winning. I knew it.
Yeah.
And the 17-0 crowd cannot believe it. What are you guys talking about? A chance to be the best team of all time ever? 15-2 is winning because you don't want the intensity.
Yeah. You don't want the pressure.
You don't want 17-0.
Okay, now we have to win it this year.
Yes.
Because otherwise we're a laughingstock.
I love it. I knew it. All right. Howard picks the Bills. Coming on the other side. He'll be in studio back there in Amherst. He's busy. We had to try and arrange it somehow. Chris Brown, Bills play-by-play man Chris Brown at 8:30. Carl Jones, 9 o'clock. Final day of training camp here on WGR.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands.
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.